This message comes to you from Community Worship Center, Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is our prayer that this word brings guidance, strengthens relationships, inspires outreach, and draws you deeper into worship. At Community Worship Center, our motto is, "Let's grow together." May this message encourage your spirit and ignite your faith.
I said, do I have any grateful people? If you're not grateful, you can be quiet. If you're not grateful, you can sit down. If you're not grateful, you can shut up. But if you're grateful for every battle he's seen you through, if you're grateful for every mountain you've been able to climb over, if you're grateful for every trial, for every test, for every victory, oh, I think I got some grateful people in this place. Magnify the Lord with me, and let's exalt his name together. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I got some grateful people in this place. God, I'm thankful. You didn't have to do it, but you did. You didn't have to make a way, but you did. And I'm great.
Don't mess with me too early, because I might not preach what God asked me to preach. But I'm grateful. Can we just put our grateful hands together and magnify God? I want to thank your pastor for the invitation this morning to come preach to you, for your prayer and fasting emphasis. At my church, we have our prayer and fasting emphasis today too. I was there preaching, and then I'm going to run there after. And so I'm so grateful we were able to get this time together for me to worship with you. And I want to bid you greetings on behalf of my church, the Mount Sinai Seventh-day Adventist Church, 217-10 93rd Avenue, Queens Village, New York, 11428. If you are ever in the neighborhood, we would be glad to welcome you and receive you. I'm going to try to do what God asked me to do. So would you join me in the reading of God's word from Romans chapter 8? Would you rise to your feet as we read God's word today? The book of Romans and the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8, and today I'm going to lift up, beginning at verse number 26, I'm going to read this in the New King James Version, and then I'm going to remix it, read it in the Message translation for you. But beginning in the New King James Version, it reads this way. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I want to read this thing from the Message. It says, meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us. making prayer out of wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. Would you pray with me, Father? Hide me behind the cross so that you are the center of all attraction. We want to see, hear, and know you, for whom to know is life eternal. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you make your way to your seats, won't you look at a neighbor, smile at a neighbor. Don't say anything to them. Just look at them, smile at them. And just let them know my sermon topic for this morning. Say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. The message is entitled, When God Prays. When God Prays. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to put as a tag to this text, when God prays. Prayer is personal, but it's never private. Prayer has limited privacy settings. There are always other participants. There's always somebody somewhere standing in the gap for you. And there's a song by Dorothy Norwood that captures the essence of this idea. You might know it. It's called Somebody Prayed for Me. Written by Alvin Darling, sung by Dorothy Norwood, the lyrics say, somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time and prayed for me. And I love that song because it reminds us that while prayer may start in solitude, it never stays there. And you ought to sit with that prayers are never isolated, they are interconnected. Prayers are the intersections of integrated interventions. Can I say that one more time? Prayers are the intersections of integrated interventions. They aren't just cries, they are collaboration. They aren't just whispers, they are a web. And if you were in AY sometime around the year of our Lord 2010, you'd probably get me because you'd remember how we'd remix this song. We would say, Mama prayed for me. We would say, Daddy prayed for me. We would say, Pastor prayed for me. We would say, Auntie prayed for me. And we'd get to every person in the house that prayed for me. And this is not nostalgia. No, that's testimony, because some of us are here because somebody's prayers caught us when life dropped us. Somebody's prayers found us when storms drowned us. Somebody's prayers raised us when grief grazed us. Somebody's prayers lit us when darkness bit us. Somebody's prayers steered us when fear neared us. Somebody's prayers stayed us when pain swayed us. And we can join Dorothy Norwood, join Alvin Darling, that somebody prayed for me. And this is the theology of the tune is the theology of the text, because prayer always has other participants. Somebody cared for me. Somebody covered me. Somebody prayed when I couldn't. And that sounds good, but beloved, embedded in Paul's message, embedded in the song, embedded in the struggle is the humbling reality that our prayers, however long, our prayers, however loud, our prayers, however laden, are never enough. I know we've done all that we could to pray
properly. I know that we've read all the books on how to pray. I know that we've followed all the steps to prayer. We've worn the shiny prayer badges and polished it twice before we got to church. But here is the problem. According to Paul, he says that every prayer has a problem. The problem in every prayer is the prayer. Can I teach it before I preach it? The problem in every prayer is the prayer. That's right. The one who is making the petition. That's right. The one who's sending up the timber, because even when we pray in faith, we still wrestle in the flesh. And if you let me just moonwalk through Romans, you'll see that Paul has been building this argument from the start. Because in Romans chapter 2, it says that all humanity is errant. In Romans chapter 3, it says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 5, it says that all need justification. In Romans chapter 6, it says all deserve death except for the grace of God. And in Romans chapter 8, it says that even our prayers need a prayer partner. So when you lift your hands the next time, just remember this, that it is not the steps, it is not the posture, it is not the badge, my God, it's the prayer. Y'all, and I know you've prayed. I know that you've struggled. I know that you've bowed down. I know that you have cried. I know that you have begged. And still, something in us can't get the words out. And I came all the way from Queens Village just for you. Yeah, because I came to tell you that we have another prayer partner. Oh, yes. Only a few of you gonna get this. But Romans 8 and verse 26 says that the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Where's my church in this place? Yeah. Yeah, if you read it, you'd understand. God prays for you himself. Yeah, I know mama prayed. I know daddy prayed. I know pastor prayed. And that's good. That's necessary. That's beautiful. And that's important. We honor them. We celebrate them. But don't miss this. It says himself. E. Stanley Jones says he does not send someone to carry your burdens. He shoulders it himself. That word himself is my shout this morning. That word himself is my sermon this morning. That word himself is my testimony. God doesn't say God sends an angel. God doesn't say he sends a substitute. God doesn't say he sends a delegate. God doesn't say he sends a stand-in, but God says he prays himself. I wish I had a worshiper through here. Yeah, if you're too weak to pray, he prays himself. If you're too wounded to worship, he prays himself. If you can't whisper his name, he prays himself. Aren't you glad this morning that God does not outsource your struggle? That God doesn't hand off your frustration, but God says, I'll handle it. And there is going to come a season in your life when your words fail, when your strength fades, when your prayers falter. But in those seasons, beloved, do not panic, because God, our God, prays himself. He prays you out of danger. He prays you out of depression. He prays you out of disappointment. And that's enough to make me shout that God did it himself. You don't have to shout, but I'm preaching all of this. Mama prayed, daddy prayed, pastor prays, but some of the things that you are standing in today, some of the victories that you are celebrating today, some of the chains that you never thought would be off, you didn't even know that he was the one that prayed you through. I wish I had a worshiper that could shout, he did it himself. Come on, nudge your neighbor. Say, he did it himself. Say, he did it himself. If I was at a Baptist church, I would say, won't he do it? I said he did it himself. And this is what the preachers say. This is doctrine that dances. Yeah. I know some of you said we in church, we not at a fete, but this is doctrine that dances. The Spirit of God will do it himself. And I'm so glad that God does it himself. Because some of you Negroes will pray for me in the front and then stab me in the back. Some of you Negroes will quote Jesus and Ellen White and quote every Adventist scholar and then have the nerve to talk about me behind my back. So I'm glad and I'm grateful that God says, when you are bad and when your family is bad, I'ma do it myself. And so, don't y'all get me too excited too quick. But when God prays, there are at least three things that happen when God prays. Can I show you at least three things happen when God prays? Number one, when God prays, there is intervention for your infirmity. When God prays. Paul drops this in the 8th clause of verse 26. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our infirmities. Infirmity is the evidence of you being human. Infirmity literally means your limitations, your vulnerabilities, and your weaknesses. Infirmities. That we are weak, we are feeble, we are frail, and all the while we try to fake it. We try to front it, and we try to fight through it. But we have some infirmities. But our heavenly prayer partner provides intervention for infirmity. Yeah, he says that the Spirit helps in our weakness. And watch this. I knew that I was coming to the house of the great Jason Ridley. So, Doc, I had to do my homework because I know that you're a preacher and I know that you're a mighty teacher of God's word. And I looked in the Greek and the word help literally means to grab the other end of something. It is the picture
of someone stepping in to lift what you can't lift alone. It is not the help of pity, it is the help of a partner. It is not I'll do it for you, it's I'll do it with you. Oh, that's good news. Because the Spirit doesn't stand while we struggle. He steps in while we strain. He grabs the other end and says, let us lift this together. And watch this. I knew only a few of you would get this. So what would help me with this is I started doing some lifting. Yeah. I know you're looking at me and you're saying, where is the work? But just be patient. He's still working on me. Yeah. I've been to the gym. I'm trying to get stronger. I'm trying to get my life together. I'm trying to get healthier. And I've been doing a little lifting. And the first thing that I learned is that the bench press will humble you. Yeah, yeah. Because what looks like sitting on the racks is a whole different story when it's on your chest. Come on and say amen if you feel me real good. And that is where I learned the value of a spotter. Yeah. A spotter is somebody who doesn't take the weight off, but makes sure that you don't get crushed under the weight that you're working with. Do I have a witness in here? Oh, man, because that is what Paul means when he says that the Spirit that the Spirit of God helps in our weaknesses. Can I introduce you this morning to your spiritual spotter? Because life will put some weight on you. Bills that bench press your joy, of responsibilities that press against your peace, and grief that presses down on your faith. But the Holy Ghost says, let me grab my Jesus, the other end. He says, you don't have to lift this by yourself. You don't have to hold that alone. But God says, when you're wobbling under the weight, God says, I got the rest. So whatever is pushing down on you, it won't crush you. Yeah, yeah. That's what it means when it says that God grabs the other end of it. I wish I had a witness through here. Yes, God didn't take all the weight away, but God made sure that the weight wouldn't crush you. God didn't erase every one of your problems, but he made sure that the problem did not erase you. And I don't know about you, but there have been seasons in my life when I thought that I was strong, only to realize that I was being spotted by the Holy Spirit. Can I let you know today that there is help in God's hands, that you are being spotted through depression? That was God's hands. You are being spotted through the divorce. That was God's hands. You are being spotted through the disappointment. That was God's hands. You are being spotted through the grief. That was God's hands. You are being spotted through the uncertainty. That was God's hands. And I wonder if I have a witness before I get to my next point that can shout to God with the voice of triumph and say, I would have died had it not been for God's hands. I would have fallen had it not been for God's hands. I would not be here had it not been for God's hands. But I thank God that he spotted me just when I needed him the most. Do I have a witness that just wants to say yes? Yes! Yes!
Yes. Yes. There is. God is going to God is going to spot you. And so there is an intervention for your infirmity. But point number two, let me try to move through here. I don't want to keep your people too long, Elder. But not only that, watch this. There is, amen. You hear me better this way. Mm-hmm. I try not to yell at my people. I try to use some decorum and education. Like I got a doctorate, I got some degrees or something. But then when the Spirit touches me, all them degrees on the wall, all of the education just goes the other direction. Let me. But point number two. The text says that when God prays, there is intelligence for your ignorance. Yeah. Because there are going to be some moments in your life when the mind malfunctions, when the mouth malforms, and when the message misfires. Yeah, you've been there, you've been praying, and Father, but the words wouldn't work. You called every apostle an angel and Jesus, but the words wouldn't work. You tried to articulate your agony, but your language just locked up. And Paul says something that'll make you pause. He says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Yeah, Paul, the same Paul who was caught up in the third heaven, the same Paul who prayed chains off at Philippi, the same Paul who shadow healed people, even Paul says, sometimes I don't know how to pray right. And I don't mean to offend the prayer professors in the house this morning. I don't know about CWC, but I have pastored some prayer professors. And they know exactly what to say in prayer. And so this text rubs them the wrong way because they say, how dare you say, I don't know what to pray for like I ought. I have a PhD in prayer. I have always known what to pray. But Paul says sometimes I don't know the right words to pray. That's honesty. That's not heresy. That's confession. That's not contradiction. Paul is saying my head knows scripture, but my heart can't find the sentence. Yes, because sometimes the situation is so serious that your soul just sighs. Sometimes the pain is so personal that prayer turns into a pause. And sometimes grief grips your throat until you can't, all you can get out is a groan. Yeah. And right there, someone say right there, between what we feel and what we can't say, the Spirit steps in with divine intelligence. Yes, not a spectator, but a translator. Not a critic, but a communicator. Not a judge, but he joins with you. That's intelligence for your ignorance. Yeah, when heaven's wisdom translates human weakness. And what I call it, that's prayer on autocorrect. Yeah, you know when your phone thinks it knows what you meant? Sometimes you type mad and then it changes it to made. You type hell and it changes it to help. Well, the Holy Spirit is better than Google. The Holy Spirit is better than autocorrect. Because sometimes I pray, Lord, would you change them? And the Spirit says, he meant, Lord, change him. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. After one of those tough board meetings, I said, Lord. And the Spirit says, no, he meant Lord, change him. And sometimes I say, God, remove the pain. And the Spirit says, he meant redeem the pain. I don't know about you, but I thank God for holy correction, because I have said the wrong things. I have done the wrong things. I have used the wrong words. But I thank God that God gives me intelligence for my ignorance. And God will correct me when I'm going wrong. And God will restore me when I've fallen short. Can we just thank God that God will give you some intelligence? Yeah. Yeah. I'm coming to my close. Stop looking at the clock. God, our God, will give you intelligence for your ignorance. And finally, God will give you incarnation for iniquity. Yeah, now, church, we can talk about the Spirit's intercession. But we can't talk about the Spirit's intercession without talking about the Son's incarnation. Because the same God who prays for you, the same God who prays through you, once paid for you through the Son. Paul says in verse 27, he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saint according to the will of God. That's powerful, because the Spirit intercedes within us, but Jesus intercedes above us. The Spirit translates our groans, but Jesus took our guilt. The Spirit speaks in our weakness, but Jesus stood in our wickedness. That is incarnation for your iniquity. When a divinity wrapped itself in dust to deal with our dirt, that was incarnation for iniquity. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that was incarnation for our iniquity. When God put humanity, put on humanity so humanity could put on hope, that was incarnation for our iniquity. You see, the Spirit says what sin tries to silence. My God, the Son died for what sin tried to destroy. The Spirit groans in our struggle, but the Son of God gave himself for our salvation. And at Calvary's cross, Jesus became what we could not fix. I said at Calvary's cross, he carried what we could not cover. I said at Calvary's cross, he paid for what we could not afford. I said at Calvary's cross, where's my church through here? Oh my God, he endured what we could not escape. I said at Calvary's cross is where he did all of that for us. And that's why I can shout today. Because the same God who helped us in our weakness, the same God who interpreted us in our ignorance, is the same God who incarnated himself to handle our iniquity. I said at the cross, mercy met misery. At the cross, grace met guilt. At the cross, love met the law. At the cross, the spotless one stood in the place of the stain. I said at the cross, he didn't come just to feel our pain. He came to fix our problem. I said at the cross, he didn't come to relate. He came to redeem. He didn't just come to stand beside us. He came to stand in us. That's the gospel. The Spirit prays, but the Son paid. The Spirit intercedes, but the Son intervenes. The Spirit translates, but the Son took our place. And if you ever doubt the love of God, remember this. Jesus didn't send help from heaven. He became it. He didn't shout from the clouds. He showed up in the crowd. He didn't text from eternity. He took time, took on time. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. There's intervention for our infirmity. There's intelligence for our ignorance. But thanks be to God, there is incarnation for our iniquity. I said, because he lives, the Spirit still helps. Because he rose, the Spirit still intercedes. And because he reigns, the Spirit still interprets. Every groan you cry, every tear you shed. I said, somebody ought to shout that he came for me. He came in the flesh to cover up my faults. He came in weakness to win my war. He came in pain to purchase my peace. I said, that's incarnation. And that's why I shout today. Because when nobody else could call my name, Jesus prayed. He prayed for me. He prayed when I couldn't talk. He prayed when I couldn't see. He prayed when I was sinking deep in sin. He prayed, and I'm standing because he prayed. Y'all are entirely too quiet this morning, but I'm gonna preach all of this. You ought to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm still here because he prayed. Say, neighbor, I'm still here because he prayed. Somebody that knows he's been praying ought to open up your mouth and give him praise. He prayed for me. And my Bible agrees. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You didn't hear me. So Hebrews 7 and verse 25 says he ever liveth to make intercession for them that come to God by him. I wish you were with me, but I got one more evidence. Luke chapter 22 and verse 32. Jesus told Peter that the devil came to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed. I prayed. I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. I wish I had a witness that could shout, he prayed for me before I broke down. He prayed for me before I lost my way. He prayed for me. Somebody holler, he prayed. He prayed. He prayed. He prayed. He prayed for me. This is my last shout. He prayed early in the morning. He prayed late at night. He prayed when I was wrong, and he prayed when I was right. I said he prayed when I was weary, and he prayed when I was wandering. I said I thank him that he prayed. I forgot one thing. That song that I told you about by Dorothy Norwood and that brother named Alvin. That song has one more verse. He says, somebody pray for me. Yes, he says, mama pray for me. Yes, but he ends by saying, Jesus. Do I have a witness in this place? I said he ended that song with one more stanza, and that was, Jesus, pray for me. I said he took the time to pray for me, and I'm so glad that he prayed. May the roll rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sunlight of Jesus grace your cheek. And may God keep you in the palm of his hands. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Come on, if that's your testimony, let's just magnify God here. Come on, you didn't come here for me. You ain't come here for Pastor. You didn't come here for Mama. And if you did, you came for the wrong person. We came here for Jesus. Come on, call his name, Jesus. I said, call his name. I said, call his name. I don't know who you are today, but I came on assignment for those who've been praying. And you feel your prayers are purposeless. I've been praying, Pastor, and that's all they tell me is to pray. How many times am I going to pray about the same thing? Over and over again. I had a sister at one of my churches, my first church. I was an intern. That's what they call you when you're not ordained. I was an intern. Every prayer meeting, she said, Pastor, pray for my husband. I pray that he joins the Adventist church. I was at my church for 5 years. I said, and in the fifth year. But every year. But I'm so glad that Jesus. Come on, y'all. Come on. That Jesus prays. We're standing on our feet today. This is our invitation to discipleship. I don't know what you came here with today, but you want to step forward in faith because you know that God is praying for you. I want you to meet us down at the altar. You see where your pastor is standing. Come on, we're going to pray for you. I think they're going to sing that song for me. I think they're going to sing that song. I'm already hearing it. Come on, meet us down at this altar. You stand in need of prayer. You know who you are. It's not your neighbor, but it's you. Standing in the need of prayer. Come on, not another second. Not another minute. Not the hour of another day. But come on and meet us down at the altar. We want to pray for you. Amen. Come on. Come on, let's put our hands together for those that come. Come on, take us back. Circa 2010. AY. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, sing it with us.
I'm so glad they pray.
Come on, yes.
I'm so glad they pray for me. Somebody pray for me. Had me on their mind. Took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they pray. I'm so glad they pray.
All right, come on now. Come on, say, I'm so glad.
I'm so glad she prayed.
Say, I'm so glad.
I'm so glad she prayed.
I'm so
glad she prayed.
Having a good time? Come on, you having a good time?
Yeah.
Let me see those pearly whites. Are you glad that he prayed? Say, I'm glad that he prayed. The time is far spent, but I want to lift you up in prayer at this time. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We also thank you for your prayers. We thank you for the prayers that got us out of tight spaces. We thank you for the prayers that forgave us when we messed up. We thank you for the prayers that cured our children. We thank you for the prayers that kept us in the car accident. We thank you for the prayers that kept our levels low when our health was out of control. God, we thank you for the prayers. And God, we are here today because we again are standing in the need of prayer.
Yes.
God, I don't know why they have poured forward, but I know that you know. I know that you can make a way. I know that you can solve all our problems. So today, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask you to pray for your people. We ask you to speak of them and in the heavenly seat of righteousness. We ask your God to call their names, call their situations, call their conditions. And we ask that by the grace of God, you will turn things around for your people. We thank you, oh God, for the prayer warriors. We thank you, oh God, for the prayer leaders and the prayer teams that have gathered today to lift nothing but Jesus before your people. So continue to bless this ministry. Continue to bless my friend and the pastor of this house, Pastor Jason Ridley. God, I ask that you would continue to do great and marvelous things through him, through them. In Jesus' mighty name do we pray. Let God's people say amen. Amen and amen. God bless you, and may God keep you on today.